The scripture reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and 22. The verses are shown on the bulletin. Then God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witness the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." The second reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent another slaves, more than the first, and they treated him in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put these wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to another tenant who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become this cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized he was speaking about them, and they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Amen.
Then God spoke all these words: "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's amazing in our eyes. Let us pray. Lord, you are the cornerstone of all lives. Though you were rejected, you were pierced for our transgressions, and your stripes and beaten for our iniquities. We ask that your Spirit descend upon us today. Fill us, empower us, strengthen us so that we may understand your word to us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our minds and hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Ten Commandments. As I read this week, I think about it and I thought, wow, sounds like a roadmap for life with God, or in other words, the purpose of life. In the psalm that's supposed to be one of the readings for this week, Psalm 19, which I took verse 1 and 2 and put it in front of our order of service. But verse 7, 8, and 9, it talks about the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decree of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Nowadays, it's really hard for people to accept Ten Commandments. Since I was at the college, I was told that it's really old. We have to think about ourselves in how we live. There are more to life than just the Ten Commandments. But as I was reading it, the journey of the people of Egypt, the people of Israel from Egypt, they were thinking about their life back in Egypt. That's all they know about themselves. Mind you that this is the fourth and fifth generations of people were in Egypt. Those who went there as time of Joseph, they're all gone. So the Levites died, their children died, the grandchildren died. This time, they are the great grandchildren, which is Moses and Aaron. And maybe the fifth generation is Moses' children. That's the next generation. That's the fifth one. So they didn't really know what was happening. They didn't really know the stories. Maybe they heard, but they didn't really know what's actually happened and how God delivered them from famine that happens around the world. And that's why Joseph took them. Unfortunately, time changed. And now God bringing them back to the promised land. On that journey, the people have to learn how to be with God. And it's so hard for me to understand. How can I understand a new life, a new situation? Is there any hope in this journey? The journey in the desert, in the wilderness, it's so hard. No food, no water, it's hot. During the day, it's cold during the night, snakes, all those challenges of life. No wonder why they will keep saying, you brought us out here to die. It's better to die in Egypt, there is a grave there, than die in the middle of the desert, nowhere. Imagine if we think about of ourselves, that it's better to be in jail and in prison than in freedom and with God. While I was in Tauranga, my brother had a stint in jail, 2 years, 6 months. He was doing all these courses in jail, and then they took cut off 6 months and only do 2 years. But towards the end of the 6 months, at the beginning of the last 6 months, they called me and said, "Is it possible that my brother come home?" And I said, "What's this?" They said, "This is part of the rehab. This is part of the process to introduce your brother back into the community." And I said, "No problem. At least there is some support in some way so that I can be able to live with him. I have to ask the church and I have to assure the church if there's anything goes wrong, there's probational officer, there are police officers and everything that's around him. So they have to put in place something to care for him." But as I was thinking about today's reading, people are free. They were saying, "Go. You are walking with God. God give them food, bread in the morning, quail in the evening, water from the rock, which is really dry. Everything was provided. And God were present with them. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire." But the hearts, it's really hard to change, as I understand. And this was my experience with my brother. Most of the time, he felt that he can't really trust me as a brother. Although that we live as family, he think like a person in jail. And as I was thinking about today, no wonder the life of, he's only take 2 years to be in jail. In the last 6 months, he had to come out to rehab and try to put himself into the community. There are three things that I noticed with my brother as we journey together on this particular 6 months. There is doubt in his mind of everything that he's trying to achieve. And when the doubt seats in his mind, the disbelief rolling in. Didn't really believe anything that I say. Whether the prison officer will say anything that will help him. And the last thing that comes follow that is a disobedience. Start to kick the law and everything. And those are the three things that I noticed: the doubt, disbelief, and disobedience or denial. Everything that's around him. And these are the things that I notice as I read through the life of the people of Israel as they walk with God. No wonder why God was trying. Maybe this is the rehab. The rehab that we do now, this was rehab in the desert, in the wilderness, and bring the Ten Commandments, something to help them to be able to relate to God. And I just think about the first one. "You shall have no other gods before me." In other words, relate with me first. I am your God. You are my son. You are my daughter. And as we walk together, I will help you to be able to walk through the desert, climb up the mountains and into the valleys, and walk through the rivers, cross the rivers of life. But the doubts always settling in. If we think about the creation story, when God said to Eve and Adam, "Look, everything is free for you. You are allowed to do anything in here. Only one, is the tree in the middle of the garden. Satan came and said, Eve, is it right you are free here? Yeah, but only the tree in the middle of the garden. If we eat, we surely die. Listen what Satan said. You know what? That's not true. Put the doubt into her mind. Eat it. You will be like God. You will be like God if you eat it. You know why? You will know the right and wrong. Again, when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, after he was baptized and he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my son whom I adored. This is my son." And as he go from there, the gospel said, the Spirit took him to the desert and tempted him by Satan. The first question was, if you are the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. To put doubt in him, just after the Spirit said, you are my son, whom I adored, Satan said, if you are the Son of God. And Jesus responded, is it written that only God, the Word of God, is the bread, not the bread that you did bring you life. The Word of God, the Word from God's mouth, will bring life. Listen about it. The doubt settling in, the disbelief comes on, and disobedience rolling and take over. The Ten Commandments, I would like to say, bring Ten Commandments, but before they leave Egypt, there were 10 plagues. The key to open the door to walk out of Egypt, it was 10 plagues. This is a Ten Commandment helping them to walk through doubts and disbelief, and hopefully they're not going to be disobedience, but they obey what God wants them to do. Unfortunately, they kick and cry, and they end up create their own God with the bull, and they bow to him, to it. Today, we hear the gospel reading talking about, have you never read in the scripture? This is Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's amazing in our eyes. The doubt that's settling in at the beginning, that happens in the desert, it's happened again in the time of Jesus. This is the priest. These are the people, so-called people of the faith. And Jesus said, and tell the story about the tenants. And then he talks about it, and he said, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone. Which actually Jesus said, I am the cornerstone of life. I am the Word became flesh and lived among us. Do we doubt just like the people of Egypt? Is disbelief arise from that doubt and lead to disobedience or disregard what God has given to the world and to us? The Pharisees, the chief priests asked Jesus, what is the most important commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts. We know that. The question is it possible that have a transformation in our minds and hearts to be able to live that out? Ten commandments by Moses, two commandments by Jesus. Love the Lord, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I must confess to you, this is the hardest thing for a minister and a person like myself, to be able to love you as I love myself, let alone love my wife as I love myself. Is it possible, let alone the Ten Commandments, just think about those two most important commandments that Jesus said in his response to the priest. Is it possible to love all mind, strength, and soul to God, and then love each other as we love ourselves? This week I was sitting with this verse from Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. This is the kind of thing that Paul was trying to teach the church in Philippians. They were struggling, thinking about their struggle, the things that they can't bear, the things that they can't deal with. And Paul said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, Paul was talking about the transformation starts from our mind. Our mindset sometimes, we think about the struggle, we think about the things that people do to us, what they say, what they hate us about. But Paul was trying, in a transformation of mind, and he talks about the true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Those are the things to set in the mind in order for us to be able to see each other just the truth. Just the right and noble, the pure and lovely. As I said earlier on, this week I struggle with that. This week I said to myself, is it possible to be able to think about the lovely, the true, the pure, the noble things instead of see my hurts, my struggle, the hates, the things that people have said, or whatever? There is hope. Because the first commandment said, don't put any God before me. God is love, and love never fails. And if God is with us and we can see each other with God, I am sure what Paul is trying to say to the Philippians, true, pure, noble, lovely, it's going to happen. It's possible. We can do that to each other and to the world. And as we go out today, the world will be a different world when we see only with right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent to each other. I've heard people say, we see the goodness in each and every one of people. Today, that's how Christ, no wonder why, the psalmist, Jesus using the psalmist today, have you ever heard, the stone that rejected by the builder become the cornerstone? You know why? Because he was the one that was crucified, bang the nails on his hand, but he keeps saying, forgive them. Is it possible? I remember a story. This is the last one, and I finished. A minister back in the island, he came to his garden, and he found the man was started running away. He just go there and help himself. And a minister said, hey, stop, come here. And he came back. Oh, what do you really want? His sack was half full. And the minister filled up the sack and said, oh, would you like more? Have the tallow leaves and every other things and give it. And he said, where's your home? And he said, oh, it's a bit far from here. Oh, put it in my truck. I'll take you. He took the man to his house. The other minister was saying, you should call the police this moment. Get him and put him in jail. The minister said to him, I'm trying my best to live out what Christ has done in this world. We crucified him. He said, forgive them. That's the challenge for me, and I would like to say, I hope that's a challenge for all of us. We will gain that power from the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when he was baptized. As he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the voice said, he is my favorite son. No wonder why he can bear the nails, the spears, so that the world may know God's love is real. Would we be able to bear the cross so that others may know that Christ is real with us as a congregation of Wesley? May the Spirit of God be with us as we journey this new month. Amen. Amen.